You're listening to Ignite Your Success, a podcast that inspires fitness professionals to build a strong business that enables them to serve more people and engineer the lifestyle they desire. It's Brad Shepherd here, and together with Jason Yabanowicz, we're best known for running Trainer HQ, a community of passionate and profit-hungry fitness business owners that make a massive difference in others' lives every day. Each episode, we'll unpack for you exactly what's working and deliver best practice strategies so you can confidently grow your business and make a huge impact. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Ignite Your Ultimate Success podcast. I'm Brad Shepherd, and I'm joined by my business partner at Trainer HQ, Mr. Jason Yabanowicz. Crowd goes wild.
I love how you do the intro every time and I get the applause. It's fucking outstanding.
That
my self-esteem's just gone straight up.
You can't always be guaranteed of the applause at the start, hey?
No. Well, we just manufacture it.
So. Yeah, that's good. I wonder if people are listening to this just clapping. Just
I hope they do. I hope they go, yeah, this is the part where you've got to clap. So if you're watching on YouTube or you're listening to it, make sure you get involved.
Start clapping.
We're going back to the old format.
We have. Yeah, so people listening won't understand that. But
we're basically sitting side by side rather than across from each other.
Yeah.
If you're listening and can't see it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've wasted a good couple of minutes full of absolutely nothing.
It got weird, didn't it, there, looking at each other?
Yeah, it got weird. Oh, yeah. Anyway, let's just leave it at that.
There was two dragons. Money mindset is the topic today, mister.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it. Yep.
So we want to talk about money mindset. We want to share our experience in this area. I want to give some insights, things that we've observed, things that we've experienced ourselves. So let's start first of all with, I guess, where does someone's programming come from, their beliefs and so forth around money?
The first thing to understand is that money is not real. It's a man-made concept, right? So it's what someone agrees about on a certain thing. So if I'm going to go buy a loaf of bread, I've got to be in agreement that that's worth $4 or whatever, right? So it's a made-up concept. It's not real. However, it's the quickest and most efficient and fastest way to look at our programming and beliefs because it's not real, but we have an emotional response to it. So something that's not real, it's made up, but yet we'll have an emotional response. And so what I mean by that is the question you ask is where does it come from? Well, it comes from when we were a child and we were like all of our beliefs and programmings. And who do we learn from? Well, the people that we get to observe and grow up with. So we typically learn all this stuff from our parents. Inadvertently, they pass on their beliefs about everything, health, relationships, money.
Mm.
So typically that's where it gets learned. The thing is, there's not any really sit-down lessons, right, on money or education, not really in school. Again, unless your parents have done work themselves or they're financially successful and they've got a good relationship with money, then typically you don't really get a sit-down lesson about it. Maybe how to save and, you know, put money aside, but I don't know about you, I never really had any.
No, well, you backtrack to schooling, education, all the rest of it. There's not a topic there. There's not a subject on it.
Yeah.
It doesn't really get spoken about. And, you know, right now into the curriculum in this day and age, you know, from what I've seen, we've got teenage kids going through school, all the rest of it. I don't really hear much about it. So you're 100% correct. And on the topic of money, it's one of the things that we've observed anyway, where people get incredibly uncomfortable talking about it.
Yeah.
It triggers off this emotional response. So what we often find is that people could more happily talk about sex and their sex life or sexual experiences than they can about their money, and you watch them speak more comfortably about it.
Yeah.
Would that be a fair assumption?
Especially in this country, I believe that's the case. And that leads into tall poppy syndrome, and you can't talk about how good you're doing or how much you're making or not making. So, yeah, it is, for most people, an uncomfortable topic. And, you know, if you look back to when we were saying where do these beliefs come from, from a childhood, and typically in the seminars, I mean, you've seen me do this, you know, hundreds of times when I'm talking about beliefs and then I hit on the topic of money, and why potentially we're not earning the amount we want. And I give a very simple example, and I say to the audience, stick your hand up if you've ever heard any kind of version of this growing up, and that is money doesn't grow on trees. You've seen it.
Yeah.
How many hands go up out of a room full
pretty
of people?
Much the whole room.
Pretty much the whole room. It's 99.9%. Very rarely have I seen, you know, that not be the case. And so then I go on to explain that. I go, when I heard a version of that, be it was that exact one at some point, I went and asked for something for my parents, and I got that, well, money doesn't grow on trees, mate. I was sitting there thinking, no shit. Because if there was money out on that tree, I would have gone out and picked that bastard dry. So there's a message that gets delivered, though, to that child, you know, unintentionally, that number one, money must be hard to come by. And the second part that you won't often hear out there, you'll hear that bit, but the second part is that this is where the emotional bit comes in. There's an emotional component to it, and that's how dare you ask. Because if it's hard to come by, how dare you ask for it? And so there's an element of shame and guilt that gets delivered because there's an emotional response, right? Because the way it gets delivered from the parent, unintentionally.
Yeah.
So then here you are as an adult and you've got shame and guilt around money, or at least asking for what you want at a certain level. You're in business now and you want to put your prices up. And what can you experience at that stage when you're wanting to ask for something that you want? Well, you're going to experience maybe some shame and guilt. So the chances of that being successful for you, or maybe even doing it in the first place, because who wants to go back and feel those feelings, right? Mm. So the programming goes off. You're in a position. You're about to go, put my prices up. I'm about to ask Brad. Now, you know, my rate's now 110. I've got a bit of shame and guilt around that. That's also led to maybe not having the most healthier self-esteem also around myself and money. The chances of me asking are probably going to be under slim, or I'll just sabotage it. Then I go, oh, see, there you go. Not worth it.
So many bits to that. And if we go back to the statement, money doesn't grow on trees, we could list, and we have done in our workshops when we explore this in more detail, is to go other versions of it. So if you've ever heard, we're not made of money, money's not easy to come by, like the list could go on
people,
and on.
People with money aren't happy, they're Scrooges, they're not good people.
Money doesn't make you happy.
It's all this shit, that money gets a bad rap and gets blamed for, which it's really just someone's belief, right?
Yeah, or people with money are evil, or... Yeah. Whatever that, and they take advantage of others, the list goes on, right?
And if you believe that, guess what? Guess what you'll come across? Fucking people with money are evil. Are there people out there without money that are evil? There's a shitload of them in prison right now.
Yeah, there certainly are. And so this part gets, so back to the programming, right? This stuff gets ingrained from a very young age. And so if we talk a bit about the subconscious, if you could share a bit of that, how that gets ingrained, and then how that starts to surface into that adulthood.
Well, I mean, the conscious brain and the subconscious work hand in hand, but, the conscious part of the brain is the part of your brain that talks to yourself, like, I want to make more money, I want to quit smoking, whatever it may be. But that alone isn't enough to change your reality. So in your subconscious, it rather works or it doesn't. So things like, sleep, you're rather asleep or you don't. But if you've got 60,000 of these automatic programmings in there that have been done before the age of 10, and one of those programs is about money, and it's been embedded in there from the examples we've said, like money doesn't grow on trees, money's hard to come by, you've watched your parents struggle, all this stuff. Well, without you even consciously knowing it, in there, all this stuff could be lurking, right?
Mm.
So then the way it happens is you automatically act out behaviors in accordance to your belief. So if you've got a belief in your subconscious that money's hard to come by, you might make some money, and guess what will happen straight after? So you're just getting ahead, and what will happen? The car will break down, there'll be a bill, you'll break your leg, there'll be something, and then all of a sudden, you've got this expense. So you go, see, just as I was about to get ahead, something bad happens. So
more evidence will present itself.
More evidence. And that's where they talk about the law of attraction, that movie that was out many years ago, that you tend to then attract what's already inside you. So we're like a frequency. AM, FM, if you know you're tuned in, you've got the receiver, you can tune into the station. It's a similar thing with how it works with our programming, is that you'll see more evidence of why money's hard to come by. So the objective is to start to look at, firstly, what we're doing now is we've got to talk about it and we've got to have a discussion and start to, I guess, flash the torch in the subconscious area to go, what are my beliefs around money?
Mm.
You know, if I had to say, like, my beliefs about money are, and you would honestly finish that question like you've been interviewed, I say to Brad, your beliefs about money are, the first response might be a surface level. I might have to ask Brad like 20 times. So you can do that with a bit of paper, left and right hand, write a line down the middle. On this left-hand side, you're going to write the question, my beliefs about money are, and then you want to honestly have the response. And it might be, it's scarce, it's hard to come by, I never have enough, you know. So that's really what we're doing here. We start to explore. Not many people get the chance to do it or think to do it.
Yeah, stop, draw a line in the sand and go, let's address this. And then the other part is going, what is your relationship with money? So if we were to ask money, how have you been treating it? What's your connection to money like? And ask money to respond. Oh, so let's say it could, right? And it might say something like, well, you don't treat me so great, you know? You don't place much value on me. When you get some of me, miraculously you find a way to get rid of that. And it's just, once again, an incredibly powerful way to step outside and to go, all right, from the outside looking in, what is that belief? What's that connection?
Yeah, and, you know, at the seminars we teach again, like I when I talk about the money and the programming and your beliefs around money, you know, typically why our self-talk comes into play with this, which is very important, is that, again, the conscious brain talks to the subconscious and it embeds this programming, right? So say, for example, someone wants to do something, they want to get a car, they want to, you know, get some mentoring, whatever it may be, PT, and they see the price and they go, I can't afford it. So conscious part of the brain, it's actually saying what's already in the subconscious. So that's when I hear someone talk, I can hear their beliefs. You know, classic example is the glass half full, half empty. So I can tell that person probably hasn't done a lot of work on themselves in that area, you know, so they're still running a program from a very young age, frustrated as shit as an adult as to why they can't get ahead or get better results in that area. So I can't afford it. Now, it's one thing to say I can't afford it, but there's also in your subconscious pictures and feelings. So the picture of that and the feeling of I can't afford it, no one's cheering, fuck yes, can't afford it. So pumped today, it's great. Another opportunity where I just can't afford something. So that emotion is hopelessness, defeated, all the rest of it. So again, then how helpful is that then for you to find a solution in order to change that situation? Well, fucking zero. Fucking zero. So again, I start to tell you to people, like, you don't beat yourself up, but you've got to be aware of your language, because that's actually your subconscious spitting out what you already believe. So you could go, whoa, hang on. I always say that, but that's not going to help me get to where I want. There'd be a better way to say it. So I know that there's a solution, that even though I might have the money in the bank, I know that I'm resourceful enough and committed enough to finding a solution and making that happen. That will instruct your subconscious to start to look for opportunities about how you can do that. But when you say you can't afford it, it just goes, rightio, I'll just show you more evidence why you can't afford it.
Yeah. And for every problem, and this is part of the training that we do, for every problem, you want to go out there, and this is for anybody, you want to find not just one solution, but two, three, four, five solutions, right? So you go, okay, cool. Well, how can I afford it? That might be another way of saying it. I know there's a solution out there. I know there are options available to me. These are all ways that you could rephrase that, which you go, okay, cool. Suddenly we now move from this place of, you know, scarcity, and now we start to open up the pathways into abundance and thinking more proactively and thinking resourceful and thinking about ways and where we can find these type of solutions.
And look at that way. I mean, even sitting here, just the way I feel hearing you use those words versus I can't afford it. Mm. And you got to understand, it's the emotion that gives the belief, it's glue, makes it stick, you know. So when you start saying how can I, is way better than I can't, and I'm committed and I'm prepared to do what it takes, you know. Who can I ask? Who can I model off? Who can I look at?
Yep.
What could I do? Way better. And that part will serve you way more than just do you get the money or do you get who you become in the pursuit of developing yourself to become a someone who's resourceful, find a solution. Because money's not the problem. The problem is your beliefs that you've had from a young age that you're not unaware of, and your lack of training, your lack of desire and effort to go and change this part of your life. That's the problem. Money's not the problem. Time's not the problem.
Does get a bad rap, doesn't it? Money, time.
Well, yeah, because, you know, like, it's easy to go, I can't afford it, I don't have time, because then you don't have to get off your ass and do anything. That's the truth. So part of it is our beliefs that we've had from a kid, but as an adult, it can serve you to have some of these beliefs because then I don't have to do anything. If I can't afford it, oh, well, I'll just guess I'll go back and watch Netflix.
We have a lot of people through Trainer HQ, through our community, they love their exercise and their training, right? So that's quite often many people get attracted to the fitness industry, do their love affair with health and well-being. And part of that would be, say, lifting weights, right? So think about this analogy for anyone who's trying to make a connection to this. For those of you who love your exercise and going, all right, I'm about to do a lift. And if you were to say, I can't lift that before you go and do that lift, how great are you going to be at that lift? Not so good at all. But if you have a different mindset to it, a different approach, go, I'm gonna give this thing a real fucking red hot go, you know?
Yeah, and good example.
It completely changes the framework. And I had this very discussion with somebody just recently, and they were struggling to track their numbers, their stats, their figures, their finances, bank accounts, all that sort of stuff. It was a mess.
Their fingers not work.
Their fingers?
Yeah, like they couldn't do it.
Wishing, you know, hoping the fingers work for they could cross their fingers and hope it was all going to magically work. And I said that person was right into lifting, powerlifting, all that sort of stuff. I said, you know, when you train, yep. Do you you track your workouts? Do you? Yep. You track your how much you lift, all that sort of stuff. Yep. Percentages, all that sort of stuff. How well do you track it? Oh, meticulously. Yeah. Put it all in the app. Yeah, of course
why
I do.
Why do you do that? But no, I'm seriously, like, if you ask them why do you track all that stuff then?
Yep. Well, trying to get better, trying to improve.
Okay. So you want to be better at it.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Makes sense why you would track it.
And then you go, oh, okay, cool. Can we take that same action, that same belief, and now transfer it to stats and figures and money? Of course, it's highly transferable. You know, you've got that
and
there.
Again, why would you want to do that?
Well, it's because you want to have the things that you want to have the abundance. You want to create the lifestyle.
To know what's working, what's not working, how to improve, be better. Yeah, that seems like I can see a parallel thing going on here.
It's when you break it down, you go, this stuff is, we're not talking about rocket science here. But
we're definitely not speaking about rocket science. Look at us.
It's really fascinating, and we get to see it time and time again. You know, 16 years coaching, 200 plus people join the high level programs. We get to see all sorts of different ways that people react, believe, words that are spoken around money, and it's quite fascinating actually. Good. That we see.
Good example. And as you were talking, I was just thinking the same thing. If someone said, "I can't run 10Ks," well, all right, maybe not now. So does that mean you don't try, you don't do it? Or, you know, or maybe I start with trying to, you know, do 100 metres, 200 metres. It's the same thing, same concept when you're talking. I go, it's the same thing, I can't afford it. Well, maybe right now because it's not in the bank. But does that mean you just give up?
Mm.
Or do you go, well, how can I? What can I do? What can I read? What can I invest in? You know, who can I reach out to? You know, can I sell stuff on Marketplace? So I look for that in people more than anything else because that says they got what it takes to be successful. Again, if they don't have the money, but I go, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. I love seeing people go to work going, well, how can I change that situation? What can I do? What can I get? You know, how can I get resourceful? So, yeah, it's the fitness thing and any of our examples, we use them a lot, right?
Yeah.
Because there's so many different parallels with it that you can use.
So at our face-to-face events now, we just ran the 137th one over in Auckland, New Zealand. Crowd goes wild.
Stop it.
137th time, and I do a similar activity where we identify where does your money go. And so we break it down, we get the whiteboard, we go, I break the whiteboard in half, or I don't break it half, I actually put a pen line down it. Whiteboard marker, as a matter of fact. But sometimes...
Yeah, you are very strong though, so you can do it.
We've used a non-whiteboard marker on whiteboards over the years, and that didn't go down too well.
Ouch.
So on the right-hand side, I talk about essential stuff. Right? So there's essential things, essential expenses that you would have in your life to get by. All right, so you're going to live somewhere. There'll be a rent or a mortgage you would pay. You need to eat food, and again, it could be debatable how much you do need to spend on food.
Alcohol.
And the type of foods you... You think alcohol's essential?
It is for us. No, it's not.
You need to... wear some clothing, right? It's socially acceptable in this day and age. And once again, how much someone spends on clothing, that could be debatable.
It's not on Instagram.
No, it's definitely not.
I don't see a lot of clothes on Instagram.
No. And as long as it's matched up with
a positive statement.
Yeah,
live your best life. And I always like doing that G-string.
You've got some... Stay tuned to the Trainer HQ feed. Like electricity, phone, all that sort of stuff. But ultimately, you know, to live in this country and most developed countries around the world, you can get by for a reasonably low amount of money. It's not like you've got to spend ridiculous amounts of money on food and clothing and all that sort of stuff, right? So that's the essential part. You're going to need that part. And then we go to the other side of the whiteboard and we go stuff. And it starts, and it usually starts with the most controversial one being coffees. Who drinks it? Takeaway coffee. Yep, what, $4 or $5 a go, two a day, 5 days a week, you know, suddenly we're $40, $50 a week on coffee. Eating lunch on the go, then again, probably hard to go somewhere and get out of it for maybe less than $10. Mm. Yep, and I'm being conservative with some of these numbers. And then we start breaking down other things. We go, okay, who exercises here? Most of the room put their hands up. Yep, okay, supplements, protein powders, you know, pre-workouts, intra-workouts, post-workouts, memberships, equipment, you know, the list goes on. And then we start to talk about things that make personal trainers even more sensitive. We go athletic running shoes, you know. And I go, I've never seen a bigger motherfucking group of society that have so many freaking pairs of shoes and every color, every style, all the rest of it. And the list goes on and on and on. And maybe alcohol, well, you could consider it essential. But ultimately, we go through that list of stuff, and what we often find when people do this drill and this activity is that depending upon their budget, their tastes, all that sort of stuff, you can suddenly claw back, you know, anywhere from conservatively $100, $150, you know, and we've seen people, you know, $300, $400 a week, which can just disappear on stuff. And it's, once again, it's a great representation on that relationship with money, because if, again, you're not conditioned, you're not programmed to be around money or to understand the value of money or to respect money, you find yourself coming in possession of it. And then we go out there and the feeling of purchasing the takeaway coffee and the new pair of shoes and all the rest of it, it could potentially be a good feeling. It could, you know, set off, spike the dopamine. It could give that great feeling, that great sensation. It's like, I've been out there and I've trained my three clients this morning and I'm walking around in this new pair of shoes. They're shiny as I got my takeaway coffee. And that can bring a good sense, right? So it's like thinking about that connection and going, okay, do I physically need it? And if I'm saying that I want X, Y, and Z, which is further down the road, and that might involve me to do something like to save some money, to invest in the business, to do something, but I'm still stuck on the food on the go, the takeaway coffees, the shoes, all the rest of it. What am I really saying? You know, it's like I'm saying no to the things that I want. I'm saying no to the future, to the wealth creation. And so the terminology I learned many years ago when faced with a very similar situation was, it's for me at the time, it was easy to say no when there was a deeper yes burning inside. Yeah. And so the deeper yes was, hey, I wanted to have the future wealth and the future success and so forth. But when your money's getting spent on stuff, it's, you know, you're just going to block yourself from doing that. And, you know, the question is, you know, spend all your money on stuff, and what are you going to have at the end of the day?
Stuff all,
you know. Why? Because you spend all your money on stuff. And once again, very easy to do, this exercise we just spoke about, but also very easy to neglect, and just keep traveling through life day in, day out.
Yeah, I, and we've had multiple occasions where someone has done that or come to join our program and go, I can't afford it. And I was one particular one recently where young guy really wanted the help, spoke to him the first time and I can't afford it. And, you know, I start to go down and explore, well, what's really going on. Won't bore everyone here with it, but I get into more the psychology part of it. Anyway, he was just locked on it. And then nothing changed in his situation, of course, and his business didn't have the right skill set, structure, support. So, you know, it was no surprise to me that 2 months later he's knocking on my door going, I'm ready. And I go, okay, well, what's changed, you know, because hopefully your mindset has. And he said, look, I said I can't afford it. I work out. I spend $150 a week on Subway. So that's a classic example. I buy takeout food every single day. I'm not making my food. And that's where money's going. So he goes, I'd much rather invest it in my future. Now, a smart decision to make at such a young age. But that's the reality that he had to be honest and then he started to look at it and go, well, that's BS that I can't afford it. It's just that I've been spending my money in other stuff. They're like takeout. Well, what's that going to give me? Nothing. Mm. Where he needed to invest in his, you know, ability to run a better business, be more successful. So he could have, I said, then you can have all the Subway you want, mate.
And for everybody listening, that you might have your own thing. It might be, hey, I don't drink coffee, or hey, I don't eat Subway, but it's a metaphor, right? Yeah. And it just about everybody, if you've got a heartbeat, there'll be the thing, right? Which is for you. And, you know, ultimately, you want to set yourself up in a position where you can enjoy the fruits of life and you can do all that. But however, if you need to go, all right, what I need to do is check, and I need to maybe go down to Coles and buy the freeze-dried coffee for a period of time, make my own. And, you know, currently people are gagging just listening to that. But going, again, that serves as a metaphor for going, what are you prepared to do? What are you prepared to go without for a period in time to have it all in the future?
It's such a broad topic, and we're just scratching the surface. Like, again, that have a big enough why is really critical. And again, stopping, you know, I speak to people all the time and go, what's your cost of living per month? Very rarely do I hear anyone know. And there was a period of time I had no idea myself. When you actually look at, you know, health insurance, you know, electricity, well, on average, what do you actually need to live? What are your current expenses? What do I spend when I go out on the weekend? If you don't know that stuff, it's very hard to have some direction with your life, right? Because you can then, and I've done this and I've heard you speak about it, in the early days, I spent more than I was making. Mm. I had this money coming in and the accountant says, on one hand, you've made some really good money this year. The problem is you've spent more than you've, and I know you've had a similar story. So it's about being mature, in my opinion. It's about developing a healthy, mature relationship with money. If you're honest and you go, what's my level of maturity with money? I'd say it's, for some people, it's like a 10-year-old. You know, some people can have $100 in their wallet, can last a week, but the moment they crack it, it's gone. Boom.
Miraculously disappears, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then there's other sides, people that don't invest and they're trying to hang on to everything. So there's a variation to everything. So if you sit there and go, no, I'm really good at saving and all the rest of it, and some people may be too frugal, they're spending all their time trying to protect it and they don't see the opportunities to invest and how to make it and compound their money. So we could go on and on, but there's some really key points so far on that strategy. I would really encourage you all to go and look at how much does it actually cost me each week or each month to live, and what am I actually earning? And then next thing, do I want to buy a house? Do I want to have X amount of money in super when I retire? You can go and work all that shit out on whoever you're with super. Typically they have a calculator. Even if I invest another $20 per week, or I put some money into a profit account, the list goes on. And this is why we, you know, straight up in our pathway to profits in our business coaching, we start with the financial structure part of it, because it's so important. The mindset, looking at your limiting beliefs, and then the financial structure of how you're going to run your business and set yourself up for future success.
Yeah, right down to structuring your bank accounts and how many bank accounts you should have, and how we're going to farm a certain portion of money off into each one of those. It is just really critical. You mentioned before about the transfer to business, right? So we talk about the increase in rates, really great example of it. So again, what we have heard some people say in business is a terminology like, I'm not in it for the money. Once again, a program, something that's ingrained there, a statement that comes out of someone's mouth. And we hear that and straight away we go, I see a disconnect immediately. And so, you know, from that perspective, when you hear someone say, "I'm not in it for the money," what things pop out for you when you hear that, big fella?
I normally say, start with them. You're a fucking idiot to start with. No, look, anyone who has a healthy relationship with money, they're like, it's my business what I want to earn with money, right?
Yep.
You'll never hear it come out of my mouth because it's not an important topic. Like, the topic, that's not the important part. The important part is I want to provide for my family. I want to live the lifestyle I want to live. And the business is the vehicle to do it. So when I hear someone say, "I'm not in it for the money," it straight away tells me they've got some serious work to do on their self-esteem, because self-esteem is also linked to wealth and money, what you allow yourself to receive. And their mindset about money is very limited because they feel this need to tell people, "I'm not in it for the money," like there's some kind of Mother Teresa, you know. Like, so typically I go, why are you in business for then? Go get a job. If you're not in this to make a profit, and I don't care what the money is, and that's the thing, right? It's no one's business what you want to make or not make. But to say that you're not in it for the money as your opening statement, that's a real concern. And they're also the same people that I find struggle. So they're struggling to pay bills. They're struggling to get by. Life's tough. Well, if you're walking around saying you're not in it for the money, well, you'll definitely get that.
Mm.
So I would say change the language. I say, well, change your language with it. So leave money out of it. Again, we talk about all the time. Leave time and money out of anything that you're using as a reason why you're not where you want to be.
Mm. And what we have seen and observed is that within that there can be some people who I guess would feel, "I'm in this industry to help, to serve, to change people's lives, to make a difference," all that sort of stuff. And so another way of looking at it, and potentially a healthier way, can be to say, yeah, I want to be out there. I want to be able to help. I want to serve. I want to impact people's lives in a positive way. And we see people doing that. However, we also see people whose income, the revenue they bring in and so forth, might not match up to that, what they want to do. So we say you can have a healthy balance between the two. You can be out there, make a big difference in people's lives, impact those lives in a positive way, and get rewarded financially what you desire and what you deserve. And those two can be hand in hand. They can have a healthy relationship. And again, what that amount is, it's not up to your coaches at Trainer HQ. It's not up for anyone to tell you what you should earn. That's entirely up to you and your lifestyle and how you want that to be set up and the things that you might want in the future and what you want it to supply you with.
So just hear us say that, again, it's just more about changing maybe the way you language it, because at the end of the day, money is as important as breathing. And if you disagree with that, you're fucking lying, because you need money to live, pay bills, do all the things you want to do. So just leave money out of it. But at the end of the day, you'll hear Brad and I say, we won't argue with anybody to the blue in the face. If after us trying to help somebody to maybe change their perspective of it and their mindset, and you still want to hang on to that belief that "I'm not in it for the money," all good. You won't hear us trying to argue that. Good, go and achieve that outcome that you weren't in it for the money. You're happy to struggle and go through it. Won't affect our lives. So,
yeah. Well, I guess what we've seen after doing this is you know, if someone wants to be right, they can remain right. That's completely up to them.
Go and make no money. It's all good. Or don't do it for the money. That's fine.
Yeah, and I got married, you know, 16 years ago, and I guess what I figured out on that day is I'll never be right ever again. So I'm completely fine with that as well.
Right.
Mic drop.
Yeah, if you listen to HP, you've got a good conversation of the night.
The last, the final positioning statements for me when it comes to money, when it comes to rate increases and so forth, and I track this back to business, and I go, what I like about the concept of, say, increasing rates, and remember when I talk about increasing rates, that's just a metaphor for a lot of things you would do in your business, but it's a pretty common one. So if you're exchanging services, you're doing one-on-one, semi-private, online coaching, all the rest of it, at some point in time, you'll have a rate increase and you'll have that conversation with your clients, and there's a whole system behind it. A couple of the mantras that I learned, which really assisted me through that journey, is number one, I said to myself, I said, I've got no right whatsoever to decide what somebody will or won't pay for my service to train with me. And I guess what that was saying was in the early days before I learned some of this stuff is that I would start thinking for other people. I would start making decisions for other people. I would start, you know, hypothesizing what was going to happen. And when we ask this question at our live seminars, we say, you know, if you were to put up your charge out rates, what might your clients say, think or feel? And typically there's a whole bunch of words that pop up, you know, they'd question it, they'd ask why, they'd ask what else do I get, you know, they'd think I'm greedy or money hungry. The list goes on and really, again, they're an example of these limiting beliefs. And so what it's all about is how do we, first of all, acknowledge these, going, yep, all right, well, first things first, those statements, those beliefs, they're sitting in my head. And when I say my head, I speak collectively about anyone who's been through that process of you know, increasing their rates or having a change and so forth. But what we're doing by those statements, and if we buy into them, is that we're starting to make decisions for other people. We're starting to think for other people. So, you know, the parting message for me is to say, look, you've got absolutely no right to decide what someone will or won't pay for your service, number one. Number two is you've got absolutely no right to think for other people. And you probably don't want people thinking for you. You don't want people making decisions for you. So once again, that's not up to you to do that.
I like it. It's perfect.
That's good.
So it's a topic worth investing time and energy into. There's plenty of information, plenty of books out there. In our program, you know, for my past business, where it's all emotional intelligence, psychology, we've got a whole manual, whole training. We've got our Ignite Your Success cruise next year, and it's all on money mindset to unpack all this probably programming that you've had from your age and you know, release it and then reprogram yourself to allow greater wealth. So it is the topic that I'm fascinated with. I know you are, and it's something that's worth just keep investing, because there's layers and layers and layers. Every time you hit another level, there'll be a whole nother bunch of things to investigate and all. But the reality is, in any area of life, and if we just say money, if there's any resistance and you keep repeating a same pattern, that's the time to stop. Stop looking externally for the next thing that may, you know, help or change, and look inside and go, listen to the podcast, go, it's time to really look at what are my honest beliefs around money and how is that affecting me now? How old are those things? Are the behaviors I'm doing and the language I'm using, you know, is that a mature adult, or is that the inner child me, you know, running the show? Because what does a 10-year-old know about being effective with money or earning money or what to do with money effectively? So it really is a good topic to dive into, because it's so much more than money. It'll just really reveal so much about your personality, your habits, your traits and your beliefs. So it's worthwhile doing. Another thing just to finish up with, if you've been enjoying our podcast and if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, make sure you give us a like, comment. If you're watching or sorry, listening on Spotify, also look, share it. Let's get the message out there. So share it on your stories. You know, it's quite easy to do on Spotify, any other platforms. We really want to help more people. We want to spread the word, trainers or not trainers. We don't mind, but, you know, let's together collectively help more people get access to this information. As you can see, we don't hold back. We share a lot of our content, so we, you know, more people we can help, and we can do that by you sharing the love and passing it on.
Absolutely. All right, well, I guess that wraps us up for Money Mindset. Plenty more to unpack in that area, but those of you who've been tuning in, I hope this has been a good insight to get their creative juices flowing and to have a think about what your financial future could look like.
Need any help? They can reach out.
Absolutely.
What's the best way they can help?
Best place to find us is straight to our Instagram. So it's trainer_HQ. And, you know, we don't post photos on there in our G-string.
So you'll be pleasantly
surprised when you get there. So.
Yeah. Or you can go to our website, www.trainer-hq.com, and it's our authority site. Either way, you can go and get access to great resources, and also contact us there if you're looking for help.
All right.
Adios.
Us up.